At the beginning of the summer, I started a series of messages with you on the theme of suit up. And I want to just recap the first couple messages for you. I should say this right at the beginning, that in research for this message, my father gave me a book by a man named William Gurnall. He wrote this book, three books actually, they're like thick, hard to read in some ways, but they were written over 500 years ago, all on this passage of scripture of putting on the armor of God. And it's been a difficult read, but an enjoyable one for me, and it's amazing to me how what this guy wrote 500 years ago is still relevant and still just, it's like he wrote it for today. It's amazing. Truth doesn't change. It stays the same. And so I'm just telling you that, you know, I thought if I kept saying William Gurnall says this or William Gurnall says that, you're going to wonder, well, which part of this message did you actually come up with on your own, Joel? So I'm just telling you, I've been heavily influenced, okay? I got to tell you the truth. I'm not as smart as what I might appear to be, okay? I just, hopefully, by the grace of God, can take some of these things and spit them out to you. But we've been looking at the fact that there are two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. And these kingdoms are at war with each other. And their mandates could not be more opposite. Jesus gave us the mandate of each kingdom in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." God has an incredible destiny for you. Do you know that? He has an incredible destiny for each and every one of us. The scripture says that he has plans to prosper us, plans to give us a hope and a future. We have all been called by God. We all have a call in which to live. So the scriptures are clear about this. But the scriptures are also clear that we have an enemy who will do everything in his power to keep us from living our call, to keep us from being the people that God has created us and destined us to be. Where God wants to bless, the devil wants to curse. Where God wants to bring life, he wants to bring death. Where God wants to bring joy, he wants to bring despair. And so we've been discussing about how many Christians are actually dull in their minds. They're unaware of the reality of the spiritual battle that we are all in. Paul describes it for us. He said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And so Paul uses strong language here to describe these forces of darkness. The Apostle Peter was no different. He referred to he said, be alert and be sober in your mind because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Paul describes the devil as a schemer. He describes him as a strategist. He's not passive in his attacks. He's intentional and he's calculated. The scriptures are clear. The struggle is real. Our enemy is formidable. But the purpose of the series, of course, is not to fill us with fear regarding our enemy. The purpose of this series is to prepare us to fight this battle by making us more aware of these realities and by helping us to be properly equipped. You see, as powerful as our enemy is, God is greater. As powerful as Satan is, God is so much greater. It says in 1 John, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. If we try and fight the devil in our own strength, good luck with that. You're going to lose. But we have a powerful God who is in us, who is with us, and if we fight in his strength, we'll overcome. We'll win the fight. God has made available to us his mighty power. That's exciting. He has not left us empty-handed. He has given us armor. He has given us weapons to use so that we can stand our ground against every scheme, against every strategy that the enemy wants to throw against us. But the question that I've been posing to us in this series is, are we wearing the armor? You see, in order to win this fight, you got to suit up. You got to suit up and you got to get on every piece. Paul describes for us 6 pieces of the armor that the Christian needs to wear in order to stand their ground against the enemy. 2 weeks ago, we began looking at the first piece of the armor, which is the belt of truth. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness." The belt of truth is the first piece of equipment that Paul instructed us to wear intentionally, because the belt was designed to keep all the other pieces of the soldier's armor in place, and it was the one that was put on first. It was the foundation piece of his equipment. And so Paul is saying here that having our minds wrapped in the truth is the foundation from which we win our battle against the enemy. That's where it begins, with a foundation of truth. The devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. That's all he speaks. He is the master of fake news. He was the one who invented fake news. It wasn't CNN, Donald Trump. The devil is the master of fake news. He knows how to disguise himself as the angel of light. And he inspires all kinds of false doctrines, philosophies, perspectives. And many of these things sound good. But Solomon wrote a warning to us in Proverbs 16:25. "There is a way that appears right, but in the end it leads to death." It's not the right way. And so we must have the discernment to know the difference between what is true and what appears to be true. I tell you, if you don't have an established judgment in the truth, you're going to be like a flag in the wind. Whichever direction the wind blows the hardest, that's where you'll go. And the path that appears to be right might just end up in death. You see, when a person has an established judgment in the truth, it has an influence over their entire person. The more emphatic and certain our knowledge of something becomes, the more deeply it sinks into our memory, the more a part of us it becomes. It influences our affections. It has influence even over our emotions. I've always loved the story of Jesus and the 2 disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had risen from the grave. He didn't let them in on who he was. They didn't recognize him in his resurrected form. And he shows up on the road as they're walking to Emmaus, and he just sort of slides in beside them and starts having a conversation with them. And he starts teaching and he starts preaching to them, and they hadn't recognized him. And eventually he sits down to eat with them. Luke 24, verse 30, and it says, "He took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him." And then he disappeared. That must have been kind of cool. "And they said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?'" Something came alive in us, didn't it? Man, there was like a... Did it happen to you? It was like a fire went off inside of me. But I'm sure that the disciples had heard some of these things before. Jesus had been teaching them for years, but suddenly this time on the road to Emmaus, something happened inside of them. Their minds were open to understand. And when that happened, a passion was ignited, a fire was lit. It reminds me of Jeremiah when he said this. He said, "But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns light in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. His word is such a part of me. Jeremiah had heard the word of God. He knew the truth, and that truth burned like a fire in him. Church, I want to say this to you, that the same thing happens to us when we abide in the presence of God and when we really hear His voice. Something gets on the inside of us. Something is stirred within our hearts. Our desires change in those moments. Our entire life, our entire behavior becomes affected by the truth that we have come to understand. I've heard my parents tell the story many times of the night that they encountered Jesus. You've heard my dad say many times, it was the best news I had ever heard. I would have been an idiot not to accept it. And he talks about how their lives transition from pursuing wealth and material things to suddenly those things not mattering anymore. All their affections begin to change. Their goals begin to change. Their priorities begin to change. What was important began to change. How they raised Tracy and I began to change. It was all affected by the fire that had been lit inside when they heard the truth of the Word of God. I want to say this, that I heard the sermons. I grew up hearing the sermons. But I will remember the day for the rest of my life, the day my eyes were really open to see, the day I really saw the truth. It was like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. A fire got lit inside of me. It changed me. I was never the same again. My whole life has been shaped by what I saw. In the midst of all the confusion of life, in the midst of all the noise, there is a clear path on which my feet can walk. I've seen it. You see, it's our eyes that direct our feet. When we clearly see where we are going, we can walk safely. Agreed? When you can see where you're going, you can walk safely. The principles that we have in our understanding, they are the ground that our behavior moves upon. If our principles shift, our actions will shift and change as well. And this is why the belt of truth is so important to us. Because knowing the truth will shape every aspect of your lives. It shapes it all. And so I want to just spend the remaining time that we have this morning answering this question. If the belt of truth is so important, how do I put it on? How do I make sure that I'm still wearing it? You see, it's possible to put the belt on and without realizing it, discover one day you lost it. That somewhere along the way it got unbuckled and fell off. I want to give you three thoughts this morning on how to put this belt on, how to make sure that we're still wearing it. The first thought is this: we need to embrace truth sincerely. Embrace truth sincerely. I'll explain what I mean by that. When we talk about putting on the belt of truth, we need to understand that the belt of truth represents both truth in what I believe and also truth in my heart. You see, you can have a correct knowledge of the truth, but not live by what you believe. What are you? A hypocrite. You can know the truth, but not live by what you believe. I want to tell you, if that's you, you're not wearing the belt of truth. You won't be protected. On the other hand, you can be passionate about what you believe and live your beliefs sincerely. But if you're believing a lie, then you're just sincerely wrong. And you're also not wearing the belt of truth. Wearing the belt of truth requires a correct knowledge of the truth and also embracing that knowledge with all of your heart. That's what it means to wear the belt of truth. Therefore, the state of our heart is a major factor in holding on to the truth that we believe. Scripture teaches that our lives flow out of what's in our heart. It says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Someone said that a stable mind and a divided heart seldom meet. A stable mind and a divided heart seldom meet. Truth has to be embraced sincerely. Paul made a comment to Timothy one time about what the goal of his preaching and teaching should be. As a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, this should be my goal every time I preach to you on Sunday morning. Paul said to Timothy, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Paul was saying that the goal in preaching was not just that knowledge would be learned, but a heart that was pure, a sincere faith that was ignited and lived out. You see, when our hearts are pure and genuinely wanting to do what is right, a truth is held securely. But when our hearts are lusting after other things, a truth can easily be laid down and set aside. And so if we are going to put on that belt of truth, if we're going to keep it on, then we must guard our hearts diligently. We must keep our hearts soft before the Lord. There was a man in Scripture. We're not told much about him. He appears in, I think, three of the letters of Paul. His name was Demas. He was referred to in one of Paul's letters as a co-worker. In other words, he had worked side by side with the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine having that opportunity? Can you imagine having the Apostle Paul as your mentor, as your co-worker? I mean, he would have had a front row seat to some of the greatest miracles that happened through the life of Paul. One of the, probably the greatest theologian in Bible history, the Apostle Paul. I mean, can you imagine having Paul explain his letter to the Romans to you and hearing him teach those things? He would have had that firsthand. He knew the truth. He had heard the truth. He had witnessed all those things Paul refers to him. He made it into the letters of Paul as one of his co-workers. But then we're let in on something. It's a sad moment where Paul is asking for some friends to come to him. And he says that Demas deserted him. And here's what Paul said as the reason why. Because he loved this world. He walked away from the truth. He had failed to guard his heart. And even though he knew the truth up here, he walked away from it. I've seen this many times where people have wandered away from the truth. They've wandered away and they've experienced the consequences. Why? Because they failed to protect their hearts. You see, knowledge is not enough. It must be combined with sincerity of heart. Without it, the belt gets loose around your waist. The second way that we put on the belt and keep it on is that we need to feed constantly on the Word of God. Church, if you are convinced that the Word of God is truth, and that this knowledge of the truth protects you from the one that destroys you, then it only makes sense to me that we must make feeding on the Word of God one of the top priorities of our life. Would you agree? If we're doing this whole series and talking about the importance of truth and knowing the truth and the power of truth and how it's the foundation for everything in our lives, then there should be something that gets ignited in us as we're hearing this to say, oh my God, I need to know the truth. I need to be constantly in the truth. I need to have that truth on the inside of me constantly. Meditating on it, letting it get deep down on the inside. There should be a healthy fear within us. The writer of Psalms 119 said, I will seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray away from your commands. In other words, don't let me get away from the truth. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. There's just this passion within this writer that said, Lord, if I'm getting away from it, don't let me. Teach me your truth. I've made it my goal to hide your word on the inside of me so that I won't sin against you, that I won't miss what you have for me. Church, sometimes I think we lose sight of how valuable the Word of God is. It takes work to hide it on the inside of us. It takes work to meditate upon it. Learning requires intent and action. You know, I grew up in a Christian school. I grew up in going to Harvest City Christian Academy. One of the things that we had to do every month was learn a portion of Scripture and memorize it. We memorized way more back then than we make the kids memorize now. You know, back in the days when we used to walk 10 miles to school in the snow uphill. I can tell you that when I was memorizing that scripture, I didn't appreciate what I was doing. It was just a task to be achieved. I got it, got my sticker on the chart, and didn't get a detention. Good motivation. Maybe it wasn't all right. But it's what I had to do. But I have found at this point in my life that there is a word hidden deep inside of me that comes out when I least expect it. I can't tell you how many times I'm writing my sermons and go, I know there's a verse that says something like this. And I'll have one phrase in my mind. I have no idea where it is. And you know where I usually have to go to on my search engine? The King James Version. Because when I put it in the New Living Translation, it doesn't come up there. And I'm like, but I know there's a phrase that says this. I must have learned it in school. I'll try it in the King James Version. Bang, there it is. There it is, and I've discovered something. All those years, 12 years, 10 months of the year, passage after passage after passage, drilled on the inside of me. And it's there. And it's become a foundation point of my life. Oh, I wish our kids in our school realized the value of what we're doing. Church, it's the truth of the Word of God that lights our path, that shows us where to go, that sets us free. I love how what it says in Jeremiah 23, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. You know, this, I don't know if I've seen this verse before, but when I'm in Africa, this is one of my favorite prayers. God, when I preach, let your word be like a hammer when I preach today. Let it smash through the hardest of hearts. And now I have a scripture passage to back up my prayer. That's exactly what the word of God does. When we speak the word of God, it is a hammer. It's a hammer. If I'm doing my preaching right under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you should get uncomfortable regularly when you hear me preach, because there's a hammer going at your heart. It's chipping away at the hardness of your heart. It's massaging your heart. That's what the Word of God does. It's a hammer. Now think about it like this. What happens then when I get a revelatory Word of God? fire gets lit on the inside of me. A fire is lit. What happens when my mind is being bombarded by lies and it's like I'm frozen and paralyzed by the lies? The Word of God comes like a hammer. Smashes the lie. Sets me free. I can see again. That's the Word of God. It's the power in the truth. There was a young man who attended one of our gospel festivals in Uganda. The second festival that I ever preached at. He heard the Word of God. The truth of the Scripture. He was radically saved that night. He'd been trapped in a life of horrible destruction, abuse, evil unimaginable. Most of it resulting from a poor decision he had made in a time of desperation. But that night, as he heard the message of Jesus, it came like a hammer. It came like a hammer. And hope was ignited on the inside of him. A fire was lit on the inside. And today, he's a man on fire, serving Jesus. Prospering in every way. He contacts me 2 or 3 times a week for the last 2 or 3 years. I've been so impacted by his life. I've been so impacted by the power of God to change a life as I've come to learn his story. One day I was sitting with him at a table. Just outside of our hotel, he had come to see me on a recent trip to Uganda. And we were talking about what God had done in his life. And I mean, his past was so horrific. And so I said to him at the table, I said, "You must really struggle with those memories. How do you deal with all the memories and all the hurt from that?" I said, does it bother you? Do you have trouble sleeping at night?" This thing must just still eat at him. That's what I was thinking. And he said to me, "Oh no, Joel." He said, "When I first became a Christian, that first year," he said, "I had a hard time sleeping at night. These memories were constantly bombarding my thinking, and it was just," he said, I was tormented on the inside. "But then I learned who I was in Christ," he said to me. And he proceeded to preach to me one of the best sermons out of Romans that I had heard in a long time. He was looking at me like, "You're the pastor. Why am I telling you this? You should know this." And he began to describe to me how he was an adopted son of God. That there was no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And he said, "I'm not tormented anymore, Joel, because I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation." My mouth almost hit the table. I thought, this boy hasn't even been saved 2 years. And he has a revelation that many believers who have been saved for 30 years don't have. What did he do? He devoured the Word of God. He was so desperate when he heard the message of Jesus, a fire was lit on the inside of him, and he just began to eat the Word of God, drink the Word of God, sleep the Word of God, and it became like a hammer smashing through the lies that had held him. That's the power of the Word of God. It's the power of the truth. You see, some Christians rarely read their Bibles. Some rarely seek to hear the Lord in prayer. Some only come to church to hear the preaching of the Word when it's convenient with their lifestyle. To me, that is absolutely crazy. It's crazy. I tell you, those people are vulnerable to the lies of the enemy. They're in a war without their belt on. And so I want to challenge you. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I want to challenge you to ask the Lord, speak to you. Oh, I've been so impacted by that. Lord, your word is like a hammer. Your word is like a fire. Oh, God, I want to hear your voice again. As I've been preparing this week, I've been thinking about those times when I heard the voice of God so clearly and what it did on the inside of me. And something's been saying, God, I need to hear it again. I want to hear your word again. I want to hear your word again. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. Because it sets me free. The third and final point this morning, stay humble. Stay humble. You want to keep the belt on? Stay humble. This point directly relates to our discussion on guarding our hearts, but I want to emphasize it in relation to the belt of truth. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride comes before destruction, haughtiness before a fall." Often when people are broken, often when people are beaten down by poor choices or from a lack of knowledge, they're hungry for the truth. They embrace it. They know they need it. They've been humbled by life. They're now teachable, eager to learn, grateful for the truth. But then something happens. The truth sets them free, and they begin to prosper. They begin to have success. And at that moment, it's easy to switch from humility to pride. Where they were once open to receive, they now feel like they have it all together and don't need to learn anymore. Advice is no longer sought. Wisdom is no longer pursued. An independent, self-confident attitude takes over. At that point, the belt of truth that once set them free is beginning to slip off their waist. Someone who is so sure that they know the way that they will not ask for directions may be the first one to get lost. Isn't that true, men? We don't like to ask for directions. Someone who's so sure they know the way that they won't ask for directions might be the first one to get lost. You see, pride can make you a stranger at the throne of grace. It can turn humble praying and seeking into stubbornness, closed ears, and self-sufficiency. You see, the revelation that we have from God, we cannot keep without Him. You can't keep it without Him. God is light, but we head for darkness as soon as pride suggests that we turn our back on Him. And so, church, I want to challenge you. Cherish your closeness with God. Stay dependent on Him, or truth will not keep her intimacy with you for very long. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul said, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." Keep an attitude that's always open to correction. Stay connected to people that are willing to speak the truth to you, even if it hurts. Stay teachable. I tell you, the truth does hurt sometimes, but the pain of the truth is nothing compared to the pain that comes from deception. It's nothing in comparison. In fact, there have been many times where I've said, "Oh God, your truth was mercy to me. It was so painful. But it was your mercy that somebody had the courage to tell me the truth. Because I was headed for pain. Real pain." God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. When we keep a humble attitude, we're positioned to hear the truth. We're positioned to be protected from deception. Well, there are so many things that could be said on this topic. But I want to end this discussion on the belt of truth by challenging you with these words of warning that Paul gave his disciple Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you, he's talking to Timothy, but you should keep a clear mind. Timothy, keep your belt on. In every situation, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. This is in reference to the truth. You're going to suffer for the truths of which you believe, I promise you, in this day and age that we live in. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. Don't stop doing what's right and teaching the truth, is basically what Paul was saying. Church, I believe we live in days like Paul is describing. We live in a society where sound and wholesome teaching is under attack. It's rejected. People are just finding those who will speak what their itching ears want to hear. But they're rejecting the truth as a result. They're trading it for a myth. Don't do that. Don't do it, church. Keep a clear mind by wrapping your mind in the belt of truth. Be brave. Seek for truth like a hidden treasure. Put every doctrine, every teaching, every philosophy under the microscope of the Word of God. You see, I believe that truth always holds up under honest inspection. It always holds up our honest inspection. I emphasize the word honest. But if you'll wrap yourself in the truth, you will stand strong on a sure foundation. And when the enemy comes to attack you, you will prosper in everything that you do. Are you wearing the belt of truth? Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that we know who the truth is. It's you. You said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The truth is found in you, Lord Jesus. We know where to run to. We run to you. And Father, I pray this morning that by the power of the Holy Scripture, that you would, or Holy Spirit, that you would sober us today. Peter said to be a sober mind. Lord, we need to be sobered by the power of deception. We need to be sobered with the reality of how easily we can be deceived. God, we need to have a healthy fear that we could wander from the path that leads to life and trade it. Lord, if Demas could do it, we can do it. And so today, oh God, I pray that there would be a conviction that would come upon us. I got to know the truth. Lord, I pray that there would be an inspiration that would come on the inside of us. I want to know the truth because it's life to me, because it causes a fire of passion to be lit on the inside of me, because it sets me free. God, I pray that we begin to devour your word with a new perspective. Ah, this is where my hope is going to be found. This is where my life's going to be found. This is where freedom is going to be found. I pray, Lord God, that we would search after it like the greatest treasure. Oh God, give us a hunger for your word. God, I confess before you many times, I'm not hungry for your word. My mind is dull and my spirit's dull. I forget that your word is life to my bones. Let's just lift our hands before the Lord. I mean, let's just be honest with God. If that's you, say, Lord, I haven't valued your word. I've been dulled by the enemy. Lord, I even confess sometimes your word, it seems like it's dry. It doesn't seem like it's life. Oh God, I feel like the enemy is trying to dry up the truth of your word. But God, I pray for this church, I pray for myself that we would have an Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus moment, that the words that we've heard before suddenly become revelatory to us. And that the Word just becomes seen in a way we haven't seen it before. God, I pray we just be coming daily. Oh, this is what God showed me today. This is what I heard God speak to me today. God, I pray that we would run into the place of prayer and not just to pour out all our struggles, but we'd come and say, oh, God, speak to me. I want to know your voice. Speak to me. Word of truth, God of truth, speak to me. Lord, I pray that we'd be ones that would know how to run to you in turmoil and confusion and anger and fear and say, God, here's what's going on in the inside of me. I need a word of truth. Help me to see clearly in my situation. Oh, God, let your word be like a hammer, setting us free from the enemy's grip in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.